Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, I want to encourage your hearts in the doctrine of the Holy Trinity and the two natures of our Lord Jesus Christ. The two big things that the Athanasian Creed is about. Now, in our gospel lesson for today, we see the three persons in the Godhead. We see them at work. The Father sending the Son and sending the Holy Ghost into the world to enlighten and renew us. The Son being given into the world so that we might have everlasting life, and the Holy Ghost renewing and enlightening and sanctifying so that we believe and live according to God's will. Now, one of the things that we immediately think of when we think of the Trinity is the end of the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And of course, that is very common. That is the centerpiece of the doctrine of the Trinity right there. We also may think of the benediction at the end of 2 Corinthians, which says this: "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." And of course, that also is one of the cardinal verses in Scripture teaching the doctrine of the Trinity. But I'd kind of like to approach the Trinity from a slightly different angle this morning. And that is to show how it was necessary in order to be faithful to the Scriptures for the church to synthesize the message of the Scriptures regarding the Trinity and the two natures of Christ in its battle against heretics and false doctrine. And so, the first place we have to stop is in the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses teaches the Jews to say this every morning and evening: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." That is called the Shema, and it is the cornerstone of Israelite religion. Monotheism. One God. Therefore, it is impossible for a Jew faithful to the Scriptures to believe that there is more than one God. All right? Monotheism is ingrained from Scripture into the heart of the faithful Israelite. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus was asked the question, "What's the greatest commandment of them all?" And notice what Jesus says. Jesus said, "The first commandment of all is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." So we see right away that both the Old Testament and the New Testament is monotheistic. There is one God. There are not many gods. There is one God. But now we have a bit of a problem, because the Bible calls Jesus God, and Jesus calls his heavenly Father God. What are we going to do with that? Alright, let's look. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1, says this. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Oh my goodness. What we are told here is that God the Father created the world by Jesus Christ. The Son of God is the creator of the world. Isn't God the Father the creator of the world? Yes. Isn't God the Son the creator of the world? Yes. Isn't the Holy Ghost the creator of the world? Yes. It's not arithmetic, my friends. All right? It's not arithmetic. Okay, so here in this verse it says this: God has spoken to us by his Son, and his Son is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That the Father, we have two people mentioned here, the Father and the Son, and they are both God. They are both God, and yet there can't be two gods, because there's one God. Hear, O Israel. Right? So, how do you deal with this? So, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. In the next passage that we deal with, in the book of Colossians, it says this about God. He delivered us from the power of darkness. He translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So, he's talking about the Son who shed his blood to redeem us from our sins. And then it says this: who is the image of the invisible God, the Son of God, who died on the cross to save us from our sins. This person is the image of the invisible God. That's why Jesus could say to Philip, he could say, when Philip said, "Show us the Father and we will be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, Philip, and you still don't know me? He who has seen me has seen the Father." What Jesus is saying there, and what St. Paul says here, is that Jesus is the very image of the invisible God. And yet, it's not like there's two gods standing next to each other in a kind of a God club, all right? There's one God, but this one God is the Father and the Son. Now, if this were not challenging enough, when Jesus talks about the benefit of his ascending to heaven, he talks about how beneficial it is for us that he ascends to heaven. And he says, because when I go, I will send to you another comforter. Right? Now look at the way he talks about him. I will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Oh boy. Now we've got another person who also is God, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth. So now we are confronted with three persons who are God, and yet there cannot be more than one God. This is what the doctrine of the Trinity is all about. Remaining faithful to the one God and yet faithful to what the Bible teaches about the Holy Ghost and Jesus and the Father. All right? So that's why we have the doctrine of the Trinity, so that we can sum up the relationship between the one God and the three divine persons. Right, that's important. Now you say, well, Pastor, it only says in the passage that you just related from John 14, it only says that the Holy Ghost is a he, a person. All right? Where does it say that he's God? Well, in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, it says this: Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? See that? You're the temple of God. The Spirit of God lives in you. So God and the Spirit are the same thing, right? The Spirit is God, because when the Spirit lives in you, you are the temple of God. All right? So therefore, we believe in the three persons who are God, yet not three gods, but one God. So there are three divine persons in one divine essence, Trinity. This scripturally retains both the oneness and the threeness of God without falling off the boat on either side into error. And this is what all the heretics do. All heretics and false teachers, they focus on one aspect of truth and they end up falling off the boat on one side or on the other because they didn't hold to the entirety of Scripture. Alright. Let me share with you some often overpassed passages of Scripture. These are, you know, the doctrine of the Trinity is not only taught once here, once there, and if you miss it, woof, it's gone. No. The doctrine of the Trinity is taught all over the place. But most of the time, it's taught in passages that you don't think about. All right? Let me share one with you. In the book of Numbers, in the Old Testament, children of Israel, disappointing God at every turn. He has rescued them from the Egyptians. He has brought them through the Red Sea. He has provided water for them. He has provided flesh for them. He has given them manna to eat. And all they do is grumble and moan. All right? Murmuring, murmuring, murmuring. And God the Lord, Jehovah, he says this to Moses. He says, As truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times. They have tempted me, Jehovah the Lord saying this. They have tempted me now 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. So he's about to pour out his judgment upon the Israelites for yet one more time tempting the Lord in unbelief. All right, now, what does that have to say about the doctrine of the Holy Trinity? Well, jump ahead to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, St. Paul is urging the Corinthian Christians and us to not give in to temptation, but to remain faithful to the Lord's word despite temptations. And he says this, and it's said in passing, but when you pay attention, it's like, wow! He goes like this. Listen, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Paul just said here that when the Jews in the Old Testament tempted Jehovah, they were tempting Christ. All right? He says, neither let us tempt Christ. Instead of saying the word Jehovah, he says Christ. That means that Christ is Jehovah. He is the Lord. Yet there are not two gods. There's one God. One God. All right, now, one more thing. One more thing before I give up for today. All right? I got to share this one with you. It's another one of those verses that you read it and you go, yeah. But then you read it a second time, you go, whoa. All right? In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, St. Paul has gathered the elders of the church at Ephesus. And he's telling them, listen, I'm never going to see you again. I want to say my goodbyes to you, and I want to give you some encouragement that you faithfully do your work of ministry. And listen to what he says here. He says, St. Paul says this to the Ephesian elders. Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock, the congregation, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, bishops. Right? Now listen, pay attention to the words. Feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. You could read that 100 times and never notice what it just said. Feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Whose blood? God's blood. When Jesus shed his blood on the cross, God was shedding his blood. You see that? See, Jesus is God. When Jesus bleeds, God bleeds. Yet there's not three gods, there's one God. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Ghost is God, yet not three gods, but one God. And this beautiful little passage that you could read dozens of times and never notice what it just said to you, it is saying to you that Jesus' blood is God's blood. Jesus is God. When the blood of Jesus is shed for the redemption of your sins, God's blood is shed for the redemption of your sins. So, that's the Holy Trinity for today. All right? We enjoyed the Athanasian Creed together in a religious sense of joy, you know. And we have considered a few texts of the scriptures where we are shown that there is one God. We don't worship three gods. And yet there are three persons who are in the essence, the one essence of God. There are three persons who are God, who are distinct persons, yet in one Godhead, one divinity. All right. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.